I'm Patricia Pierce. Welcome to the Evolutionary Activist Podcast. We are living at an important moment in our history, a time that is calling us into a new way of being, a new consciousness from which a sustainable, just, and peaceful future can arise. In this podcast, we explore ways to help that future take hold within ourselves so that together we can help it come forth in our world. Hello, evolutionaries. Welcome to this week's podcast episode. Today, I would like to talk about one of the primary functions that I believe we as evolutionary activists fulfill, and that is the role of vision holders, of intention holders. That we hold the vision and the intention that humanity will make this evolutionary leap from the dual consciousness of ego to the non-dual consciousness of love, and that evolutionary leap, that leap into a new consciousness, is what will enable a new world to come forth, to manifest itself on this planet. And we, in that way, we are co-creators. We lend the power of our mind, the power of our will, to participate and support this evolutionary becoming of humanity and of life on Earth. Now, if you have ever worked in your own life with the power of intention and the power of attraction, all of those things, you know that it can be a little bit difficult to hold on to an intention when the conditions around you are conveying something quite different from the vision that you're holding. And that makes me think of my very first driving lesson when I was 15 years old. I had my, you know, my driver's permit, and I was taking my driving lessons. I had classes, and then of course at some point you have to get behind the wheel. And I was taking driving classes with AAA, and my driving instructor's name was Red. And I still remember that first day that I got behind the wheel and Red was sitting in the passenger seat next to me. And I think this is probably a requirement of the job. He was really like low-key, you know, laid back. He didn't get stressed out, which is exactly what you need when you're a student driver. You need somebody who's not going to freak out, you know, every time you come to an intersection. So I still remember I got behind the wheel, you know, I started the car and we set out. And as I recall, Red did actually have on his side a brake that he could press in case of an emergency, but I don't think he ever used it. At any rate, we pull out and I'm starting to drive, and he tells me, the first thing that I remember him telling me was, now you will instinctively drive toward whatever you're looking at. So he was cautioning me, you know, if I'm looking over at that parked car, I'm going to instinctively drive my car towards it. And I have thought about Red's instruction a lot in these times and in my own life, you know, as I work with my own vision and my own intention, that we instinctively drive toward whatever we are looking at, whatever we're putting our focus on. And that's one of the reasons that I personally don't think that apocalyptic narratives are helpful to us. There can be some sort of warning, I guess, usefulness in them that, you know, if we keep going down this path, this is what it's going to look like. But we don't want to place our full attention on that kind of a narrative because we will instinctively head towards it. So it's that way with intentions that we need to be mindful of where we are placing our attention. Because until we reach a certain capacity of awareness and mindfulness, we will just instinctively move towards those things. So if we're placing our attention right now on, for example, the divisiveness in the country, on violence, on all of that, we are lending the power of our minds and the power of our attention to those things, and we are not feeding the intention of a peaceful transition and a new world coming forth. Now, as you know, if you have taken, you know, if you've learned to drive, you know that at some point you can drive and look at something, you know, maybe there's a gorgeous sunset or something, you can glance over at it without, you know, taking the car off the road. So at some point you do gain enough skill and awareness that you can continue steering towards your goal while also being aware of what's happening around you. So there is that. It doesn't become a matter of completely, you know, shutting out what is around us, but it does involve becoming aware of where we are headed and where we intend to be headed. So this experience of holding one intention and one vision in the midst of circumstances that do not reflect that vision and that intention, it is a spiritual practice. It is a mental practice. It is a practice of using and harnessing our own thoughts. And that applies both in our own lives when we're working with the power of intention and in our collective situation when we as evolutionary activists are holding the intention for the whole. Now, the reason that that is so challenging is that we tend to look outside of ourselves and to external circumstances to validate what is real. And when we begin to operate at this level of co-creation, we actually are doing something quite different. We are setting the course, if you will, for our own direction, whether that be individually or collectively, we are setting the course despite what the circumstances are telling us. Because in this act of co-creation, the circumstances around us, the external world that we observe, is a reflection of a level of consciousness. And so there is always this lag. If you think about the time that it takes for a sound to reach someone who is far away from where that sound originated, there is this lag time between when, say, somebody claps their hands and when that sound reaches the person who's standing many, many yards away. It's the same way with intention. There is this lag between when we set an intention and really claim it with the force of our will. Not the force of the ego, not the mind that wants to try to force things to happen, but with the power of the will that aligns itself with a purpose. When we set that intention, there is inevitably this lag time between when that intention becomes visible in the external world. So you could say that when we are looking to the external world for validation of our vision, we're actually looking in the rear view mirror, going back to a driving metaphor, because we are looking at the evidence of a consciousness, a former consciousness. So what happens then is we get into this, we sort of drive in circles, I guess you could say. We get into this situation where we hold a vision and an intention, and we set it in our minds and we say yes to it, and then we start on our way and we start driving, and then we start looking around and we see around us this chaos and all of these circumstances that are way out of alignment with this intention and this vision. And what we sometimes can do then is respond in a reactive fashion to the circumstances that we see. And when we do that, we are dropping out of alignment with the vision. So the circumstances in the external world are reflections of a state of consciousness. And as we look at what's happening in the world right now, we are seeing circumstances that reflect an egoic state of consciousness. And what can happen sometimes is we then can react to those circumstances from the consciousness that created them. We can start engaging in that kind of, you know, that attack, that hatred, that all of that stuff that I've talked about before. And when we do that, we've dropped out of alignment and we're no longer supporting the intention and the vision. So there's a knack to it, really, and it really is very much like driving, learning to drive. To, yes, I see the parked cars next to me. Yes, I see the sunset. And I'm still going to be heading down this road and holding the intention of where I know I want to be going and where we know humanity needs to go. And so all of that is one of the very, very, very important functions that we hold as evolutionary activists. We hold that vision. We hold that vision. Despite what the circumstances are telling us, despite what we see in the external world, we are aligning the power of our mind and our will with that vision that wants to come forth on the planet of a humanity that has awakened from that egoic illusion and has come to comprehend the reality of oneness, the reality of love, and from that consciousness can create a new world. So I leave that with you this week to consider that, of not looking to external circumstances for validation of your intention and your vision, whether that's in your personal life or whether that's in our collective lives. To not look to that as proof and evidence and verification or validation of the validity of the vision. Because all of that is, it's like the wake that follows a boat. The wake of the egoic consciousness that we are seeing is expressing this idea of separateness, but that's not where we are headed. So don't look to the wake, don't look to the rearview mirror, look instead within, look at the vision and the intention that you want to hold for yourself and for this planet. And I also want to call your attention once more to the book that I've written called Beyond Jesus, My Spiritual Odyssey, where I talk more about the experiences that I have had that have led me to see the world and to see reality the way that I do. And I hope that you will find out more about that book. And if it speaks to you, I hope that you will read it and join me in that very exciting odyssey, actually, of our collective awakening. And so remember the words of Red, my driving instructor: you will instinctively drive towards whatever you're focused on. So pay attention to your attention, what you're placing your focus on, and hold to the vision, regardless of what the external world is telling you. And until next week, I wish you peace.